Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 9. In verse 5, wisdom calls out to all souls, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed." This is our text. You have been invited. As I was talking about with the children earlier, I remember when it was a big deal to get an invitation. When I was young, it was more likely handmade, the card was, from one of my friends to a birthday party. Or later, maybe it was to my cousin's wedding. Back in the day, invitations almost always were delivered by the postal carrier, except for the rare occasions when they were delivered in person, actually. Often these invitations were in nice envelopes printed on fancy paper using formal language like, "You are cordially invited," or "We request the honor of your presence." I don't know about you, but these invitations, they made me feel like I was special. Like the person extending the invitation considered me to be important to him or her. Back then, when an invitation finished with the abbreviation RSVP, I had no idea what that actually stood for, which is French, "Répondez s'il vous plaît." I tested that out on Michael, who knows French, earlier. He said it was at least close, which simply means respond, please. My mom taught me to think of it this way. The fact that you have received this invitation, Keith, is a big honor, something you don't deserve. So, because the person that sent the invitation thinks of you so highly and made the effort to invite you, then you should at least honor them in return by giving him or her a response of some kind ASAP. Now, I know what that abbreviation means. As soon as possible. Well, things have changed nowadays, haven't they? It's not uncommon to get 10 invitations every day. They come in the mail. "Because you are a valued customer, you've been invited to a special advance opportunity to enjoy special prices on our products that other people won't get." They come to your phone. "Because you are a respected member of the community, you are invited to participate in this brief survey that lasts no more than 2 minutes, which actually lasts 20 minutes, that will put your opinions in front of the important people in this government." They come by text message. "Can you believe it? You are invited to enjoy 3 nights for free at a top Florida resort if you will just agree to listen to a short 2-hour presentation about timeshare vacations." And yes, they pop right up on your phone and computer screen. "Just click on this." And what do? You contemplate. Should I click or should I not? It's no surprise, then, that we are all pretty skeptical about invitations nowadays. Before we do anything, we need to know, 1, who's it from? 2, whether it's legitimate or not? 3, is it worth our time? 4, what are we going to get out of it? And 5, whether or not there are any hidden costs or expectations. But friends, my dear Christian friends, I have an invitation for you today. One that is printed on the most wonderful paper in the world, right here in the pages of your Bible. And this invitation is so important that God, the creator of all things, the author of life itself, the redeemer of every soul on earth, keeps sending it to you and to me again and again, every single day, until the day that we take our last breath. Yes, I know that the constant unending invitations today, most of which turn out to be scams, they make us skeptical and skittish. But you can have full confidence in this invitation from God today, for He invites us all to come in and receive a 100% free gift. A gift we don't deserve, but a gift that gives us life. Because it completely changes our lives. Wisdom, that is God's wisdom in the flesh, is calling to you, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed for you. But yeah, I hear your response already. Nice try, Pastor, but I wasn't born yesterday. As my parents taught me, there's no such thing as a free lunch. So what's the catch, Pastor? Because Mom and Dad told me there's always a catch. Well, the first question that I said earlier that we need to know when we receive any invitation is, who is it from? So, who is this wisdom? And a few follow-up questions. What kind of house is verse 1 saying that wisdom has built for us? And what sort of bread and wine is wisdom promising to give? I don't blame you for wanting to hang back, maybe even delay your RSVP until you get answers to these questions. Maybe even until you see if someone else has tried it out first, because, you know, after all, it only takes a click nowadays to read up on all the reviews, right? Well, maybe you think you know the answer to this, what or who wisdom is. Maybe you think, as most people, that wisdom is like old sayings from those in the past, right? Like, a stitch in time saves nine. I still don't have a clue what that means. Or, the early bird gets the worm. Or, waste not, want not. Yeah, that's it. Wisdom is all of those things that you agree with, maybe even click, that you like on your phone with a thumbs up or a red heart emoji. But then you really don't pay much attention to it. But we are not looking at social media here today, or any worldly media at all, like TV or newspapers, or even scientific journals for that matter. We believe and we confess that the greatest and only perfect source of truth is God's holy word, the Bible, right? So in God's word, in Proverbs 8, 27 to 31, just before our text, wisdom tells us, quote, "When Yahweh God established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him like a master workman. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man." Unquote. So, wisdom was by God's side when He created the world. And everything God created was created together with wisdom. Now, who does that sound like? Well, consider John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 and verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, so it's a person, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Does wisdom sound familiar yet? That's right. This person with the name Wisdom, here in the book of Proverbs, is the second person in the triune God. Wisdom is Jesus. And before you ask, I know the reason that Proverbs refers to wisdom with the feminine pronouns like her or she, that's only because in the Hebrew language, every noun has a gender assigned to it. And the word wisdom just happens to be a feminine noun. So, yes, it's saying her or she, being consistent with the language. But the Bible is not saying that Jesus is a lady. But wisdom, that is Jesus, before he was born to the Virgin Mary on Christmas, wisdom is giving you an invitation. This means God is giving you an invitation. So this is so much more than just the kind of thing that you hear and agree to but do nothing about. This is not just another nice saying that our parents or your pastor made you memorize in confirmation class that you remembered long enough to pass a test but then forgot the very next day. That never happens, does it, Isaiah? No, I'm sorry, didn't mean to call you out there. He's not alone in that, by the way. I did it too. I mean, we are talking here, though, about an invitation from the one who died for your sins on the cross. Sure, Jesus is the Son of God. Absolutely, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Of course he does. You'll even publicly confess here in just a few minutes with your fellow believers that you believe in, quote, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. But wisdom says something much more than just memorized truths and wise old sayings. Wisdom says, don't just stand out there believing in profound sayings printed on a page. Come in here. Come in here and eat them. Drink them. Come into my house, that is my church, where I am serving a feast of fine wine and the most excellent bread. Take my truth into your mouth and taste it. Lift up the cup of life and savor it. That's right. Come in out of the world and actually enjoy. Really enjoy all of these things that you profess to believe that your Savior is laying out before you and feeding you with here in this special house of worship. Leave your simple ways. This is the ways of the world, so that together, as verse 6 says, we can walk in the way of insight. Well, now that you know who wisdom is, and you nod your agreement to Jesus' invitation, does that make you wise? Well, think about that. If you memorize all kinds of ancient truths, but you never follow them, never put them into practice, are you wise? No. Jesus invites you to do more than that. During his time on earth, Jesus spoke many wise sayings and he told many wise parables, but he did more than that. He also did wise things. And he invites you here and throughout Scripture to do the same. In today's gospel reading, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. We talked about last week. He's pointing us to his flesh on the cross that he gave for our lives. Those wise words could only be acted on by the gift that Jesus was freely offering, the gift of faith. But unfortunately, many of those who had been following Jesus were unwilling to believe that Jesus was, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:24, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so what did they do? It just boggles my mind. They've got Jesus right in front of them, and they left him. They rejected him in unbelief. In verse 9, Jesus says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning." So it is my prayer today that both you and I are willing to recognize that we are not perfect, that because we sin, we not only need it, but we actually appreciate Christ's correction and learning for us. So that now we know Jesus does not just offer us a statement of truth. Much more, he offers you to taste, eat, and inwardly digest his truth. You see, Jesus doesn't just invite you to believe in a series of propositions. He invites you to enter his house, to eat of the bread that he has prepared, and drink of the wine that he has mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, he says. He's got his arms open wide. He wants you joined with him in an ongoing, lifelong, actually eternity-long relationship, starting right now. He's already done all the work, all that's needed to receive him in faith. And even that is his gift, already given to you in the waters of your baptism. You are invited not to take out a new credit card with the burden of debt, not to lose weight with the empty promise that you will look something like a supermodel or a bodybuilder, not to sign up for a chance to a free cruise with required hidden charges. These may even come on printed on nice paper, personalized with your name and delivered to your door. But look, here is your invitation from God. Look at it. It's just a book, without pictures, no less. And look at that over there. It's just a bowl filled with ordinary tap water. And what is this over here on the altar under the veil? Some bread, some wine. Not even nice bread, if we're honest. Just flat wafers of flour and water. And wine that is, I like the taste, but it's cheap. Doesn't cost a lot. But what are these things really? What does wisdom, Jesus, the Son of God, your Savior, say about these things in front of you here this morning in divine worship? Wisdom says, these are his gifts for you. Life-giving gifts, life-altering, saving gifts, gifts with which he desires to feed you his almighty power and grant you his victory over sin, death, and the devil. Gifts that strengthen you for the challenges of this world, that comfort you in times of grief and loneliness. Gifts that fill you with his grace and overflow with the peace, with the joy that this world cannot understand except by faith. You are invited. Répondez, s'il vous plaît. Please respond. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.